With the help of God for this afternoon hour, let us read together from Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, let's read first 11 verses to God's honor and glory. Otkrivenje svetoga Jovana Bogoslova, druga glava, prvih 11 stihova, Bogu na hvalu i na čast. Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. May God bless his reading. Let us all kneel before him in prayer. The book of Revelation has many vivid visions, things that John saw when he was in prison on the Isle of Patmos. He said that he was there for the word of God. He was suffering because of the good that he has done, because he followed Jesus Christ. And he was happy to be able to suffer for Jesus Christ. As he was there at the end of his time, says that we read just not that long ago, that he heard a voice behind him. So he turned around naturally to see who it was, where this voice was coming from. As he turned around, we can read in chapter 1, when he heard the voice, he said that when he turned around, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Speaks about Jesus. Even though he was with Jesus every day, he sat with him, he ate with him, he walked with him. But this time when he heard his voice, he says he fell down as dead. the fear, not the kind of fear that he was afraid, but that reverence that he had to Jesus Christ. So Jesus had a message for him for the seven churches. What about the rest of the churches? Didn't Jesus have a message for the rest of the churches? The Corinthians, the Romans, all the other ones that we have in the New Testament. The apostles wrote and gave them so many instructions and messages. And these churches needed the message that Jesus had for them. Perhaps we might say this was the last message that they received, last admonishment. Was it the last one? As he wrote to the seven churches, if Apostle John wrote him, if he wrote him down, they were able to read him over and over. It's never a last message, last admonishment, last instruction. And these letters were written long, long time ago, and we still read them today. It is only the last message, a last instruction, if we die tomorrow. Then today will be the last one. So he starts off with the message to Ephesus. This church was very dear unto John because he lived there. He spent time there. He was the one that took care of this church. Apostle Paul was the one that started the church, and John was the one that took care of it. He was the one that watered it. So Jesus says, he says, unto the messenger or the angel of the church in Ephesus, he says, write these things down. These things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. This is he, Jesus Christ. In the first chapter at the end, the verse 20, it explains the mystery of the seven stars. He says the seven stars and the seven golden sticks, the seven stars of the angels, the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So the first church here, he writes to them, he says, I know thy works. There is nothing hidden before God, before Christ. Nothing. Everything is open and naked. God sees all things. So he knew the works of the church in Ephesus. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and patience. So they had something good. They were believers. They were faithful people of God. And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. You notice how he does not say, how can you not hate those people that are evil, but bear. We're not supposed to hate anyone, but we should not bear those things that are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say that they are apostles and are not. They are liars. There were many in those days. There were false teachers, false apostles. And they have been tried, and they found out that they were not true. They were not the true disciples of God. And then he continues on, he says, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has thou labored and has not fainted. They have not given up. We heard this morning much about not giving up. We also heard on Wednesday. Why all of a sudden we're speaking so much about not giving up? Was it planned? Is it about someone that's giving up? We do not know. God knows, perhaps, maybe someone is giving up. Maybe some of the friends that are seeking are giving up. Maybe some of the brothers and sisters started giving up. I do not know. But the important thing is for all of us to never, never give up. Continue in faith. You know, we all ran, I'm sure, in high school and college and middle school. And many run in the race. And everyone tries to be the first one to win the race. What happens to the one that gives up? Is he the last one in the race? Is he the fifth in the race? Whoever gives up in the race will not even be the last one. You might think, well, the last one is bad. He's the last one. No, he did not give up. But if you give up, you won't even be last. You stop. If someone gives up, you completely stop. You cannot even finish the race. Will anyone say, well, at least he got the seventh place, eighth place, last place? Nothing. Some gives up, you finished, you're done. They have labored and have not fainted. They worked, they had patience. So Jesus here is encouraging the church in Ephesus. But he says to them, nevertheless, I have something against you. He says, I know thy work, so he knows everything about that church and all of the churches, all of us. I have something against you because thou hast left thy first love. What is first love? Is there a second love and third love, fourth love? If there's first love, there must be other numbers, right? There's only first love. What is first love? It's the love that we had when we were baptized, when we came into the fold, when we received the Holy Spirit, when we were sealed with Heavenly Spirit, when we were enlightened, when we saw the light, when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we repented, when we came to Him, when we came into the fold. That's when we were the closest to God. We had this great zeal, love, patience, endurance. We labored. That's when we were the closest to God. So what happened to this church? Why did they leave their first love? Is this something that happens to all of us? We have the zeal, we are fervent in prayer, and then we just slowly slow down. Does this happen to everyone? I hope not. I think if we continue in prayer, if we ask God to help us, to be in our midst, to be our guide, to protect us from all harm and evil, to admonish us, to correct us, to remind us, then we will not leave the first love. But there's something we need to do. Apostle Paul writes, Hebrews, he's reminding them, he says, Chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 32. He says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Call to remembrance the former days. Remember that day when you were baptized. For some of us, it's been many years, for some 30, 40, 50, for some few years, 1 year, a month. Does it matter how long ago it was? We can still remember that day, the faithful, the beautiful, the blessed day. And we need to. We need to stop and go back. Go back to that very day. The first glorious love. If we have gone aside, even if we haven't, we always need to remember that blessed day. How close we were to God. How loving we were to everyone. We loved everyone. We had nothing against anyone. We were so close to God. Our conscience was clear, pure. If we have gone astray, what does Jesus tell them here? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember, stop and think, go back. How far do you go back? Whenever you fell down. Whenever someone started walking astray. Remember, from whence thou art fallen, and what? Repent, change. If someone's walking the wrong direction, you know, if we go on a straight path and we start walking just a little bit, 1 degree, left or right, in the beginning when we start walking off, it doesn't seem like we're walking away from the road, the road that we were on, the right road. It's just 1 little degree. But if we keep on walking, we all know it will not be a 1 degree anymore. It will be way too far from the righteous road that leads to everlasting happiness. If we have fallen from the first love, from the grace of God, it's a reminder here for all of us, not just for that church there, not just for Ephesus. It's for all of us. When we read all of these messages to all the 7 churches, we need to stop and think and examine ourselves and say, to which church do I belong to? Am I of the Church of Philadelphia, which was really praised for their labor of love? Are we the ones that have left our first love? Are we following the false teachers? Do we need to wake up? Are we lukewarm? Where do we stand? We need to examine ourselves every day. We heard it today. Examine ourselves. Where are we? If we do examine ourselves, we will find some faults, definitely. But the important thing is to repent, to stop, go back, and work on the things that we need to work on, whether it's first love or anything else. Perhaps the zeal, we lost the zeal. We don't come to church often. We don't read as much. It can be a lot of things. We always need to come back, get closer to God. You know, when you drive on the highways and byways of this world, when we were driving, it's very easy to go a little bit to the left or to the right. Some of the newer cars that have these little sensors, the car will start either shaking or give you some kind of a message that you went a little bit too far to the next lane. Even on the roads, they have these grooves, the channels. If you go a little bit to the left, It's very loud. I'm sure we all experience that. If we're driving long ways, perhaps we slumber, close our eyes a little bit, the car goes, drifts to the left or right. It wakes us up. It's very loud. It's a reminder. And we get reminded by reading God's word, by listening to the messages, listening to the prayers, listening to the singing, the words of the books that we have. We have so many beautiful books, the songs. And there is a message in each song. Every song has a message. It's not just to praise God, which that's what we do when we sing. We praise God, but there's also a message in every song. You just have to read. Even song number 30 speaks about, actually, this revelation. Let me just read the part of this. I think it's third verse. Song 30 in Zion's Harp, he says, yeah, third verse, blessed is he who overcometh, who retains his first love's glow, who on truth is firmly grounded, hates all error here below. Unto him shall once be given of the tree of life in heaven. Yes, when he has won the strife, he shall have eternal life. How beautiful the words. Sometimes I wonder, the people that wrote these songs, how much time did they spend reading the Word of God? They had to read the Bible often and a lot to be able to write these beautiful words. Very beautiful words, well put together. We can pick a song and read all the verses and have a message from it. Repent and do the first works, or else consequences will come. This is what Jesus is telling the church of Ephesus. He's giving them a chance to repent, change, turn around, go back. Find out where you have fallen. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. If he removes a candlestick from the church, what do you have? What do we have if we are removed? We have nothing. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds, again, not the people, but the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. Even God himself hates the evil deeds. Who are these Nicolaitans? The only reference to it is in Acts chapter 6. This is Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. He was one of the deacons, I guess, and the history says, and even here, actually, in my Bible, and I'm sure it's in your Bible too, the Acts chapter 6, verse 5, it references to Revelation chapter 2 about the Nicolaitans. He must have gone astray. And the Nicolaitans were a sect or a group that went astray. And the history also says that that's who he was. He was one of them. The proselyte. We know what a proselyte is. It's a Gentile, someone that converted into the Jewish religion. And I was okay to convert. Now the Pharisees, Jesus spoke to Pharisees about that. In just to briefly mention a little bit about the proselyte. He says, Jesus, when he was giving all these woes upon the Pharisees, he says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, to convert a Gentile to their religion. And when he is made a proselyte, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So the Pharisees, they had a different idea. They wanted to make someone as they are. They made him even worse. Instead of converting someone to be a faithful child of God, they made him to be even worse than they were. So, whatever this group, Nicolaitans did, it was something that was abomination to God. Even God hated it. So that was one good thing that they had, that they hated the deeds of these people. Then he says, "He that had an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." It's a great promise. If we overcome, the evil, this world, the sin that is in this world, if we overcome it, there's a great promise. We will be in heaven with God. As it says here, he will give us to eat of the tree of life. We will live forever. Then, just briefly to mention about the second church too, there are seven churches. The Ephesus was mostly to return to the first love. The Smyrna message is, for them is to be faithful unto death. We can read all of the other ones. The Pergamum, it says about to beware of the false teachers and immoral deeds and so on. The Sardis, we read, pretty much tells them to wake up and complete the works of obedience, and so on. The Philadelphia was the one that was faithful church and many good things that they have done. And then the last one was about being, they were lukewarm. They were not cold nor hot. Anyway, so the second church here that he writes, the Smyrna, it says, "These things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Of course, Jesus Christ, who was crucified for our sins, and he arose from the dead. And he is alive. Again, he knows their works also, the tribulation and poverty. But thou art rich. He knows the poverty, but he says, you are rich, rich in spirit. We also need to be rich in spirit, be faithful to God. The riches of this world will pass, but the riches that we have in God will last forever. Again, he says, "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, the false teachers, but are the synagogue of Satan." So there were many that professed to be Christians, and because of their deeds, Jesus knew that they were false teachers and they're of the synagogue of Satan. There's nothing in between. If you're not serving God, who are we serving? There's no one in between. And we are called to serve God with our whole heart, our mind, with our body. Serve God faithfully, day and night. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." This happened then. It happened to our fathers, grandfathers, Many of them were in prison for many years. I cannot imagine being in prison for 5, 10, some maybe even 15 years. Just by hearing stories of my father and many that went to prison for the Word of God. For nothing else, just for the Word of God. For being faithful. For being obedient to God. They went to prison for so many years. Not because they'd done something evil. Even Apostle John, he was in the prison for the Word of God. And those people that put faithful ones in prison are from Satan, no one else. Because they cannot bear to hear the truth. But encouragement here, Jesus gives unto that church and to all of us. He says, fear none of those things. Don't be afraid. We are never alone. God has promised unto each and every one of us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is with us. Regardless of the tribulation, the problems we are going through, it doesn't matter. God is always with us. And we can all testify. So they will cast you, some of you, into the prison, not all, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What a great promise. But if we are faithful unto death, not just for many years, 30 years, that's enough, no. 50 years, no. Unto death. As long as we live, that's what we promised. So we need to keep the promise. We promise to God that we will be faithful as long as we live. Did God say it will be easy? No. Is it impossible? No. It's possible to live and be faithful unto death until our life ends. It is very possible with God's help, with His strength. With Him walking beside us, holding on unto our hand. If we start walking away, then we are on our own. So here's the beautiful promise, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that had an ear, let him hear. What does it mean, he that had an ear? We all have ears. We can all hear. And we can. We can all hear. It's whether we accept it or not. That's the question. But Jesus is reminding all of us, if we have ears to hear, then hear what the Spirit is telling us. What the Spirit is telling to the churches. And then at the end of this chapter that we read, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Blessed is the one that has the Holy Spirit within his heart. The second death has no dominion over him. But he will resurrect in the resurrection of saints. And we will live forever. We will see our loved ones. We will be together with them. Our parents, grandparents, children, brothers or sisters, whoever. Whoever was faithful and died in Christ, we will see each other. A beautiful promise to once again see our loved ones. Let us be faithful unto him. Let us be in constant prayer. And as we heard, let's not give up, ever. Never give up. And my dear friends, if you started walking and seeking and you stop for whatever reason, The reason that you might have cannot be justified. When someone starts seeking God and stops, there is no reason that can be given that will be justified before God, even before men. There is never a good reason to stop, whether we are in faith or we are seeking God. Let us continue and strive to enter into the gate, the narrow road. You know, the door is open, but not wide open. It's closing, and it's getting very close to being completely shut. And once the door is shut, no man, no elder, no minister, no one can open it once it's closed. As long as it's open and God is calling, answer. May God bless his word. Amen.
When we repent, turn away from our wicked ways and turn to God, we make a covenant with God. Covenant is like a promise. We promise him that we will be faithful unto him, and he promises us in return immeasurable blessings and life everlasting with him. Even the word testament, the New Testament, is a new covenant that God has given unto his people. That's what testament means. So God makes with us a covenant. And God is faithful that he will never break that covenant with us. But we, ourselves, can break that covenant with God. We can fall away and we can ignore him and turn away from him. That's what leaving our first love means, as was written here to the church in Ephesus. It was written that they had left or forsaken their first love. And it says in verse 5 that we have read, it says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent." So they were somewhere before, they were at some level, and they had fallen from that level, and they were now at a different level. They were at a level that God was pleased with. God was content with their service for him, but then they had fallen to a different level. And God is saying, remember where you were. Remember what level you were at when you were serving me, and return to that level. They had broken their covenant with him. They had forsaken him. Other things distracted them. We don't know exactly the details. It doesn't even matter. But they had left their first love. But God is faithful that when we forsake him, he will always call us back. The longer we ignore that call, whether we are already in the faith or not, God will continue to call us toward him. But that call, the longer we ignore it, the more quiet it will get. That doesn't mean that God is not calling us anymore. It just means that we're getting better at ignoring it. And that call will get quieter. It will get more and more faint as the years go on. But God is faithful that he will keep calling us. Why would we want to choose to leave his covenant? Why would we choose to forsake him when we know that the promise is given that to whomever will overcome, to him will be given life everlasting, will be given a place where there is no death, no sorrow? Why would we choose another path? May God give us each and every one the grace and the strength we need each and every day to be faithful to him until death, for that is what matters, as was mentioned. Our years of service for him don't matter. Whether we repent at a young age or at an old age doesn't matter, as long as we are faithful to him until death does call. May that be our one and only goal and striving in life. Amen.